Genesis chapter 46 is where we are today. Genesis chapter 46. As I began to put the finishing touches on this chapter this week, I realized that we were not going to finish the whole chapter. And I thought that was a good thing because that gives us one more week in the book of Genesis. But on the other side of the spectrum, there were so many things in the first four verses that I just couldn't pass up spending some time talking to you about Israel's journey to Egypt. This is the third journey of this family down to Egypt. It follows on the heels of the second journey to Egypt, but this one is unlike the other two because this time the whole family goes. The whole family goes to Egypt, and it's not just 11 boys here. This is a whole family. We will see next week that this is 70 people. That's a lot of people. They are going to a new realm, to a new society. They are going from the land of promise that God had promised to bless the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they were now going to go to Egypt, a polytheistic society. I mean, think about it. You live in a Midwestern town, let's say Kansas, for lack of a better state. Let's just pick Kansas. And you live in the middle of some farming community in Kansas, and you're uprooted, and you move to L.A. or you move to New York. I mean, it's culture shock. I mean, it's a whole new different environment for you, and you have to adjust for a while. Think of these people, these lowly shepherds, as they move from Canaan to the fast-paced society of Egypt. All this would play into the emotions of these people as they would move from Canaan to Egypt. And in that route, along that way, Jacob would do something very significant. So significant that I could not just pass by it this morning. So significant, I thought that we needed to spend some time understanding it. Because on his way, he stops at the last outpost there in the land of Israel, Beersheba. And there he makes a sacrifice, and there he calls out to his God because he needs to find assurance for the trip. And that's point number one, right? The assurance for the trip. And you know what this tells me? Listen very carefully. Jacob had to make a decision. He needed to make sure that what he was about to do was the will of God for him and his family. He wanted to make sure, listen very carefully, that the truth of God would stand supreme over his relationship with Joseph. So important to understand. Truth over relationship is paramount. So many times we forfeit truth for a relationship, for a friendship. And Israel is going to stop. Remember, his name is Israel in the last verse of chapter 45, and he's called Israel in the first verse of chapter 46. So you know he's walking with God. You know he's sensitive to the purposes of God, because when he's called Jacob, he's walking in the flesh. But when he's called Israel, he's walking in the spirit. He is trying to rely upon the spirit of God. So here you find this man realizing, you know what? Before we actually step foot out of this land, we're going to call upon the name of the Lord. We're going to worship our God. We're going to offer sacrifices to his name to make sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that what we are doing is the right thing to do. Isn't that good? Boy, I tell you, I read this story and I think, man, that's the way we as fathers need to be, right? I mean, before we ever make a move, we got to make sure that this is what God wants us to do. Is God moving us? Is God leading us? Is God guiding us? Or is this a whim of mine? Or is this something that I just want to do because I've always wanted to do it? Is this what God wants me to do? We need to seek the counsel of God. We need to make sure we have the assurance of God, right? And God beckons us to call upon him. And that's what Israel is going to do. Let's look at it together. Verse number 1, chapter 46. So Israel set out with all he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. We'll stop right there. I'm not sure we're going to get much past that point. You know, Abraham, his grandfather, offered sacrifices at Beersheba. Isaac, his father, offered sacrifices at Beersheba. Jacob does the exact same thing. Like father, like son. Oh, man, this is so good. You're going to be so glad you're here today. I'm telling you, I can remember growing up watching my father pray in the same spot every single day. I can recall where my father was, and I would wake up sometimes early in the morning, and there would be my father, exact same place, praying for his family, his children, ultimately his grandchildren. He stayed in the same space for so long, they had to replace the carpet because the carpet began to wear out where his knees were every single day. I find myself getting up, doing the exact same thing my father did. I mean, Jacob learned from his father, from his grandfather. He knew that his grandfather, Abraham, was not supposed to go to Egypt in the famine, but he did. And Abraham didn't call upon the name of the Lord before he went. Jacob knew that. Jacob knew his father Isaac was told not to go down to Egypt during the famine. Jacob's learning, right? So what's he do? Before he ever embarks on this journey, he wants to get the assurance from God that this is the right thing to do. God, is this what you want me to do? Is this where I lead the family? I mean, if not, tell me now. Meaning that if you say no, God, I ain't going. I'm not going to go. I know Joseph's there. I know I can see Joseph. But God, if you say no, I'm not going. See, well, the text doesn't say that, but it's implied in the text. Why do we stop and offer sacrifices to God? He had to offer sacrifices to God because that's the way he would get to God. We get to God today because of the sacrifice that was once for all for us, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. Because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, we have access to God the Father. And he is our way because of that sacrifice. And so Jacob would offer those sacrifices because he was going to call out to God that God answers, that God reveals himself to Jacob and assures him that what he's doing is the right thing to do. That is so important. That is so important. You want to know why? You say, yes, I want to know why. Oh, okay, good. I'm glad you asked that question. It's so good because, you see, a little bit down the road, a little over 400 years from now, there's going to be great conflict in Egypt because Israel is there. There's going to be millions of Jews. And there's going to arise a leader who didn't know Joseph. He becomes fearful of the number of Jews that are there, that are growing each and every day. So they put them in hard labor and they make them their slaves. And they are in bondage in Egypt. And God will raise up a deliverer. His name is Moses. We're going to study him. Because you see, the nation of Israel moved to Egypt because that's where God wanted them to be. Sounds good, right? Until the affliction comes. And then we say, wait a minute, God. We asked you what to do, and you said go. And now we're here, and now look what happened to us. If Jacob would have stayed in the land of Canaan, this would have never happened. But remember, God was in the process of working everything out after the counsel of his will. He would raise up another deliverer. He would bring his people back to the land of Canaan because God was involved in all of that. When you go to the Lord and call upon the Lord and receive assurance from him and receive the counsel that he will give you, oh, it'll be so good. But that doesn't mean that everything is going to be as you thought it would be, because you don't know how it's going to be, right? Oh, it was good for Jacob and the boys for a while because they lived in Goshen and had the finest of the land, and the Pharaoh gave it to them. But their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, they faced a very difficult task ahead of them. And they would have to learn, as Jacob learned, to call upon the name of the Lord. Because God's in charge of everything, right? And so what you have is this man, Jacob, looking to do what his father Isaac did, what his grandfather Abraham did, because he is going to learn and understand God's working in his life and in his family. All that to say this, turn back with me if you would to Genesis chapter 21. And I want you to look with me at that very first encounter where Abraham would go to Beersheba and call upon the name of the Lord. Back in Genesis chapter 21, verse number 31, it says, "Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because there the two of them took an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, arose and returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." As you recall, when we were here in Genesis 21, we told you that this is the first time El Olam is used, the everlasting God. Abraham realized that his God was in his yesterday, was in his today, and will be in his tomorrow because of the eternality of his God. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and Abraham would call upon his God. He would call him the everlasting God. He called him that because that tells us of the reliability of God. Listen, if he's in your yesterday, he's in your today, and he's in your tomorrow, you can be sure that he will always be there, right? He's never not there. You see, God is always in the past, the present, and the future. He's in all those things because he's omnipresent. There's never a place he's not. And so Abraham would receive comfort realizing that his God was so reliable in his life in the yesteryear that he'll be reliable in the future. He would call upon his God. If you go over now to Genesis chapter 26, Genesis chapter 26, verse number 23, it says this, "Then he," that is Isaac, "went up from there to Beersheba," same place that his father Abraham went. "And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well." So now you have not only grandfather Abraham, but father Isaac calling upon the name of the Lord there in Beersheba, and God reassuring him that as I was with your father Abraham, so I will be with you, Isaac. Why? Because he is the everlasting God. He is the reliable one. You can count on God, which leads me to Genesis chapter 46. And in Genesis chapter 46, you have now Israel, Jacob, calling upon the name of the Lord as he offers sacrifices to God to receive assurance from the trip. And we know that he calls upon the name of God because God answers him. God assures him. And God says to him these words, "And God spoke to Israel in visions and the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will close your eyes." Oh, there is so much there. What did he say? "Surely I will bring you up again." When will he bring him up again? Not to the book of Exodus, right? He said he would do it. He didn't tell him when he was going to do it, but he said he would do it. But God would answer him in the visions. God would speak to him so he would understand that God gave him the assurance of going to Egypt. That got me to think. God is so reliable, isn't he? You can count on God. You can count on God when you can't count on anybody else. Oh, you know what? We got to learn that lesson, don't we? We want to count on our husband or our wife or our kids or our grandparents, our workplace, our boss, whatever. You know, you can't count on those things. They're not reliable, but God is. God is reliable. That's why you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord, because that one who is reliable will answer. Listen to Psalm 86, verse number 7. "In the day of my trouble, I shall call upon thee, and thou wilt answer me." Isn't that good? In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, and you will answer me. That's assurance. And that's what we all need to have, right? The problem is, in the day of our trouble, usually the last thing we do is call upon the Lord. We pick up the phone and call our friend, or we pick up the phone and call our parents, or we pick up the phone and call somebody else, but the last thing we do is call upon the name of the Lord. And the psalmist says, in the day of my trouble, I'm going to call upon thee. You know, it must have been good to live back in those days because they couldn't pick up the telephone and call anybody. They couldn't use their cell phone to call their friends. You know, every time you drive down the road, someone's talking to somebody else about something, right? I mean, it's unbelievable the way we use our cell phones today. What did we ever do without cell phones? How did we ever make it through life? You know how people made it? They called upon the name of the Lord. That's how they made it. And God would answer them because he's reliable. I began thinking about that and thought, what is God reliable to do if you call upon him? Number one, he's reliable to redeem you. You can count on it. Peter, in his first sermon there in Acts chapter 2, was quoting from the book of Joel, helping those Jews to understand the day of the Lord and the coming of the wrath of God. And he said these words in Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul in Romans chapter 10 would go back and quote Joel as well in verse number 13 and say the same thing. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In fact, he said in verse 11 of Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be disappointed. That's great news, isn't it? There's no disappointment with those who call upon the name of the Lord. And that's why he said, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God is so reliable that when you call upon him in your sinful state, he'll redeem you. You can count on it. Because that's what the Word of God says. Isn't that how we came to saving faith? We cried out to God. Oh God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. I need you to save my soul. We called out to God. We cried out to God. And what did God do? God saved us. Because that's the way our Lord is. He is reliable to redeem his people. It says over in Isaiah chapter 55, these words. Verse number one, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Isaiah gives the invitation. And then it says in verse number six, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord and he will have compassion on him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. That's our God. He's so reliable. Prophet Isaiah says, call upon him while he is near. The writer of Hebrews say today is the day of salvation. This is the day, not tomorrow. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you need to call upon him today. You say, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Take away my sin, and may I follow you all the days of my life. That's the way God is. He is reliable to rescue you. It says in verse number 3 of Psalm 116, the cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For thou hast rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. That's the way our God is. He is reliable to rescue your life. He's reliable to redeem your life. I'm reminded of Jonah and all that took place in his life and where he was in the belly of the fish. It says in the book of Jonah that he called upon the Lord and God rescued him. I'm reminded of Stephen in Acts chapter 7 when he was being stoned. The Bible tells us in verse number 59 that he cried out, he called out to the Lord. He called out to his God to rescue him. And he got the ultimate rescue, right? He got to go to glory. Cried out to his God, and God rescued him. Listen, I don't care if you're moving, as these people were. I don't care if you're getting married. I don't care if you don't have any money. And I don't care if you're in a life of misery. You call out to your master. He will answer. Guaranteed. Because that's what our God does. Call out to him. He's reliable. You can bank on him. not only to redeem you, to rescue you, but to revive you, to revive you. He's not just going to rescue you and you're just barely going to make it. No, he's going to revive your life. He's going to give new life to you as an individual. Psalm 71 says these words. Psalm 71, verse number 15, 19, excuse me. For thy righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. Thou who hast done great things, O God, who is like thee? Thou who hast shown me many troubles and distresses, wilt revive me again and wilt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Over in Psalm 119, verse number 107, I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy word. The psalmist calls out to his God, calls out to him saying, God, revive me according to your word. Lord, I need your word to sustain my life. I need the words that are life to sustain my life. I need you, Lord, to revive my soul. God's reliable to do that. You see, a lot of times we want God to revive us, but we don't want him to revive us according to his word. We want him to revive us according to our will. And if our will is not according to his word, we're in trouble. The psalmist got it right. Revive me, Lord, according to your word. Show me yourself. Show me your statutes, that I might be able to grow in my walk with thee, Lord, because it's through the word of God that we receive strength. So our God is reliable to redeem us. He is reliable to rescue us from danger. He is reliable to revive us. Our God is also reliable to reward you. Did you know that? He will reward you for calling out to him. Over in Isaiah 58, speaking of the return of our God and how he will with his people not only revive them, but he will reward them. It says in verse number number 8, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry, and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will arise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday, and the Lord will continually guide you, and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and give you strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Our God says, listen, I don't want ritual. I want true repentance. And when you truly repent, you will call upon me. And when you call upon me and cry out to me, I will answer you. And you will do exactly as I say. And look what will happen to your life. This is what will happen, he said. Your waters will never dry up. You will be rewarded, because that's the way our God is. In Psalm 145, it says this. Verse number 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Listen now. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Man, that's our God. He is so reliable. And we, the people of God, need to understand what the word of the Lord says. If he's reliable to redeem you, he is reliable to rescue you and to revive you, to restore you, to renew you. He is that reliable. You can count on him. And he will reward you for obedience to his word. He will. There are two more I want to give you. But I want you to know that if you call out to the Lord, he's going to reveal himself to you. Just like he revealed himself to Jacob or Israel in Genesis 46. But there's one more, and I want to close with this morning. That when you call out to God and you've been redeemed, you will respond to him in a way that glorifies his name. You can't help to sing praises to his name. You can't help but tell other people about what he has done. If God be for you, who can be against you, right? God's for you. And when you know God's for you, listen to Psalm 116, verse number 13. I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, I shall pay my vows to the Lord. The psalmist understands that when I call out to God and God answers me, all I can do to him is repay him by praising him, by giving him my life, by saying, God, take me, make me, mold me, break me, whatever you got to do, Lord, I am yours. Because I've seen the glory of the Lord. I've seen how you've worked in my life. Listen to what Paul said to young Timothy. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. How do you respond to the one who redeemed you? You pursue righteousness. You pursue love. You pursue faith. There is a constant hunting down, a passionate pursuit of those things that God wants you to be. Because Paul says, all those who call upon the Lord do this. Isn't that great? I'm going to say it one more time. Aren't you glad you came? I think those are some encouraging words. I hope they've been as encouraging to you as they have been to me this morning. Let's pray.